Psalm 139, and we're going to look at just a couple of verses, verse 17 and verse 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. God bless our short reading of his word to all of our hearts. I want to speak tonight on precious thoughts. A great study in the scriptures is the precious things of God. The word precious means valuable, that which is valuable to God. And we can say that everything about God is precious. Every attribute of God is precious. Every word, every action, everything about our God is precious. You think, for instance, of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember it says of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, on you therefore which believe, he is precious. And here's Peter preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious to his people. Sometimes we sing that little hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, I'd rather be his than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus on houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. And every one of us tonight can say with all of our heart, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have the Lord Jesus than anything. Is he not your most precious possession? Your most precious treasure? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's precious to me. He's precious. And his word is precious. Remember over there in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And I'm glad tonight I can say throughout the past year, this book, the book, the word of God, has been precious to me. And I hope it is true in the hearts and the life of every child of God here tonight. That God's word is becoming more and more precious to your heart. We couldn't live without the Bible. We cannot live without God's word. It's food to our souls. And it brings to us great and precious lessons about the Lord Jesus Christ. His word, it's so precious to us. His promises are precious. Remember 2 Peter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. One writer says, God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine. And that is true, of course. They're like stars. And when darkness surrounds our soul, and when darkness comes into our life, we look up, and what do we see? The promises of God. They're shining ever so brightly to God's people. His very promises are precious to his people. And David, in this great psalm, he talks about the omniscience of God, how God knows everything. He talks in this psalm about the omnipresence of God, how his God, it doesn't matter where he goes, God is everywhere. And while he's speaking here about the greatness of his God, he talks about the precious thoughts of God to his people. That's what he says in verse 17 and verse 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He talks about God's precious thoughts. And I want us to think of some lessons quickly here tonight about the precious thoughts of God. And the first lesson we can see is very plain. The center of his thoughts. Notice what David says. Whom God is thinking about. David says, how precious also are thy thoughts. Notice the words, unto me. And David is saying here that the King, the Lord of glory, he is thinking about me. I am in his mind. And I am in his thoughts. The center of God's thoughts here, we can see very plainly, David said, is me. Now you read the Bible. David thought of himself as a very insignificant man. Do you remember when King Saul says, I'm going to give you a daughter, one of my daughters, a princess, in order for you to marry? David said to him in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 18, he says, who am I? And what is my life? Or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? And he says to the king, look, do you know who I am? Do you know my background? Do you know my family? I'm nothing. My family is nothing. David had a very lowly opinion of himself. He's only a shepherd's boy. And yet the Lord thought about him. The Lord thought about him. When he fell into terrible sin of adultery. And God sent Nathan the prophet to bring David back to himself. God was thinking about him. Remember, David himself said in Psalm 40 and verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Notice how he describes himself. He says, I am poor, I am needy. Not a bit of wonder, he says here, how precious is God's thoughts unto me? Me? He knew about his background. He knew about his behavior. Everything about him. And yet he says here, the Lord thinks about me. And child of God, can I say to you tonight here as we come to the end of another year, what is true of David is true of you. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. We can say of ourselves that we're nothing, every one of us. There's none here tonight would pump out their chest with pride. Hopefully that would not be the case. We know tonight that we're poor and we're needy. We know that we're sinful. We know that we have failed the Lord. But here's the marvelous truth of the Bible. That the Lord thinketh upon me. That I am in the center of his thoughts. We don't deserve it. Not one. Did David deserve this? No. But the Lord thinketh upon me. I could ask, I'm not asking you to do this literally, but you can do it. Take your finger tonight and point at yourself and say, the Lord thinketh upon me. I'm not talking about pointing it over to the person at the other side of the church or someone else in the church or pointing up at me here in the pulpit and says, well, I know the Lord thinks upon Noel, and so he does. But take your finger tonight, child of God, and say, the Lord thinketh upon me. Me? A failure? A sinner? The Lord thinks upon me. I'm in his thoughts. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And the center of his thoughts was David. And at the center of thoughts of God tonight, every child of God in this place, every child of God tonight in the world, is you. Every one of us is in the thoughts of God. How precious they are then. So think here of the center of God's thoughts. It's you and I. It's you and I. Think about the commencement of his thoughts. Well, when did God begin to think about David? Did God begin to think about David when he was born and brought into this world? No. Did God begin to think about David that day, whenever it was in his life, he turned from his sin and he came and put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then God said, I better start thinking about David. That's not the case. Way back, friends, I said to you, before David was even brought into this world, he was in the mind of God. God was thinking about him. You know, God was thinking about David when he drew up the great covenant of redemption, when he was drawn up in heaven, when he was electing a people from a fallen race to be saved, to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. David was on the list. When did God do that? way at the beginning, the way in eternity. Do you remember the words that Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And Paul is writing this great truth upon the believers away in Thessalonia. From the beginning, God has chosen you unto salvation. Where at the beginning? And so where at the beginning? In eternity, God was thinking about David. In the covenant and in Christ. Oh, not a bit of wonder David was saying here tonight, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God." He was thinking about this. When he turned to God, he was thinking about him. That's why these are precious, precious thoughts of God to his people. God was thinking about David when he was in his mother's womb. You see that in verse 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." He's not even born. And the next verse 14 to verse 16 talks about being formed in the womb. His personality, his features, God was working all these things out. God was thinking about David. He was thinking about him when he was in the womb. How precious then were these thoughts. Away in eternity, David could say, "He was thinking about me. He put me in the covenant of grace. He placed me in Jesus Christ. When I was in the womb, he was thinking about me." A long time ago, before David was even born, God was thinking about him. Another wonderful truth for you and I tonight, child of God. Before you and I was ever brought into this world, God was thinking about you. He was thinking about you. As I said of David, when the Lord was throwing up the great covenant of redemption, and your name was placed on that list. To be saved by the grace of God and to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he was thinking about you. He's been thinking about you a long time, you know. A long, long time ago, when you're in the mother's womb, he was thinking about you. When you're brought into this world, he was thinking about you. As Richard Sibbs said, we had a Savior before we were born. Oh, the commencement of our thoughts of God to you and I. Before even brought into this world, God was thinking about me. Take your fingers, I said, says, "How precious, Lord, are your thoughts unto me. How precious they are to me, Lord." Thou hast been thinking about me. Thou hast bringing me to Christ that I might be saved. Think about the compassion of his thoughts. God's thoughts on the David were nothing else but loving thoughts. Loving thoughts. You know, David fell, and we know David fell. And he held his hands up after a period of time. And when you read Psalm 51, he confessed his sin. He confessed his sin unto the Lord. And he found cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, every one of us, we have all failed God. And we have all fallen. But here's the great thing about it. God never stopped loving him. God never stopped loving him. He loved David. He loved him in eternity. He's born into this world when he's a young shepherd boy. When he came to Christ, he loved him. He loved him greatly. Do you know when he fell into sin? Still thoughts of love. Still thoughts of love unto David. David knew this. He knew he was loved. He knew he was loved with this great by this great God who always loved them. Does the Bible not teach us? In Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me," he said, "yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." See, it's everlasting love. These thoughts, these loving thoughts towards David, they reached the way down into eternity. He loved them. He loved them when he fell into sin. He loved them when he sent his Lord Jesus Christ into this world and to bleed and die upon the cross. Jesus Christ is saying to David, "I love you." Oh, the compassion of the precious, precious thoughts of God. They're loving thoughts. Then how precious, child of God, tonight you can say to God, how precious are your thoughts unto me? They're nothing but loving thoughts. They're nothing but loving thoughts. No doubt every one of us do things or we say things that grieve God. We do that, of course. Now, we shouldn't, but we had to hold our hand up. We do feel God. We do feel the Lord in word. And we do feel him in thought and deed every day. Remember, it says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on to the day of redemption. We're told in God's word, we're not to grieve him. We're not to sin against him. But we do grieve him. But his thoughts are always thoughts of love. Always thoughts of love. We have given God a million reasons to turn away his love from us. But he's never changed his mind. And he never will change his mind towards us. They're loving thoughts. He sent his son, remember, the Lord Jesus, to save us. It was love. It was the love of God manifested to us when the Lord Jesus died a horrific death upon the cross. He's showing his great love to us. Did he not say, greater love is no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends? The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, who loved me and gave himself for me. But notice what he said, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when the Lord Jesus upon the cross, we were upon his mind. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about me when he left heaven to come into this world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He was thinking about me. When he was dying on the cross, suffering a horrific death for my sins, he was thinking about me. Do you see, he loves us. And the child of God, remember, there are always thoughts of love towards us. There are always thoughts of love. Sometimes we need chastening, and we do get it, and we do deserve it. But it's always done in love. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. You see, they're loving thoughts. He always loves us. Loving thoughts towards his people. And to you, unto me, get your fingers high. Unto me, Lord, thou loves me. Thou will always love me. Their thoughts of love to me. In the person of Christ. Think of another lesson about these thoughts. Think about the company of these thoughts. Look how David continues. He says, verse 17, how great is the sum of them. In verse 18, he says, they are more in number than the sand. You know, you couldn't number them, in fact. He says that over in Psalm 40, remember, in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And here's what he said. And thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. And here's what David said. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And what's David saying? God's thoughts, they're numerous. And when he wants to tell us how many they are, you know what he says to us here in this particular passage? He says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And he thought about the sand all over the world, the grains of sand. And he says, your thoughts, they're far more. Your thoughts towards me are far more than the grains of sand upon the seashore. Think of the grains of sand upon the seashore. Did you ever try to count them? I don't think any of us ever have. I came across an article on it. I just gave me some figures. How many grains of sand is in a 5-gallon bucket? Now, some of us folk are still in the gallons and the feet and the inches. But if anybody, that's 22.5 litres if you are modernized. But for some of us, we like the old gallon buckets and so on. How many grains of sand is in a 5-gallon bucket? Now, someone filled the bucket. Don't know how they did it. I win. But here's the figure they came up with. In a 5-gallon bucket of sand, they came up with this, grains of sand, there was 184,800,000. 184,800,000 in a bucket. A 5 gallon bucket. That's how many grains of sand they reckon. And if you want to try and see if that is true, you can let me know when you count them all. That'll give you something to do. It is short in the winter, no doubt about it. But nevertheless, think about the number of them. You couldn't number them. His thoughts, they're numerous. Oh, how precious is God's loving thoughts to you, child of God. You couldn't number them. You couldn't number them. The more in the sand of the sea. Isn't that amazing? To me, a vile sinner, a rebel who sinned against Christ and against God and broke his law before we were converted, yet he always thought of me and he's thinking of me and he loves me. And his thoughts, I couldn't count them. Oh, how precious. How precious are his thoughts unto me. Think of the company of them. Think about the continuance of his thoughts. You see, he's saying that God's thoughts are continually upon me. You see, in Psalm 40, verse 17, he says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord, notice the words, thinketh upon me. Notice that little phrase, thinketh upon me. David does not say it, while it is true, of course, that God thought of me in the past. That is true. He didn't say, well, the Lord will think upon me in the future. Absolutely, God will certainly do that. But he says he thinketh upon me presently. At this moment, every moment of the day, he thinks about me. He's always thinking about me. I'm always in his mind. How is this possible? He is God, of course. And his children are always in his heart, and his children are always in his mind. But he's always thinking about his people. He never forgets. Remember that it says in Isaiah 44, verse 22. It says, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. That's what the prophet said. That's what God said unto his people. Thou shalt not be forgotten unto me. But remember, they had said, or they said of him in verse 14, Isaiah 49, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Do you hear what they're saying? They're saying, my Lord, he's forgotten all about me. Well, that is wrong. That can't be true. I come to the Bible. The Lord thinketh upon me. And went on to say, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. And then he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And God said, look at my hands, look at them. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He never forgets his people. He's always thinking about his people. And David says, the Lord thinketh upon me. Child of God, I don't know where you are tonight in your life. Maybe you're down in the valley. Maybe the old devil has come along and he said to you, well, you know something, where's your God? Where is he? Look at the difficulties. Look at the problems in your life. Where is he? He's forgotten about you. That's a lie. That's a lie. The Lord is always thinking about you. He hasn't forgotten his people. He will never forget. That's what he said to Israel. Yet I will not forget thee. We forget him, of course. Do you remember it says in Jeremiah 18, verse 15, because my people has forgotten me and turned away from God, backslidden. But God never forgets. He never forgets his people. You see, he's always thinking about me. When I'm sleeping, he's thinking about me. He's always thinking about his people. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. A child of God, remember tonight, whatever difficulty you're facing, whatever it may be, the Lord's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. Sometimes we say to people, of course, you know, when they're in trouble and darkness and trials come into their life, I'll be thinking about you. Don't we? We say, I'll be thinking about you. And remember, for a little while, we do think about them. And you know, as a week has passed and another week has passed, we forget all about them. It's not so with God. He's always thinking about us. The Lord thinketh upon me. Think of the comfort of his thoughts. Well, here's, I want to say, the comfort of God's thought. Remember, it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Not tremendous. They're good thoughts. The comfort of these thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think, listen, toward you, saith the Lord. This is coming from the lips of God. He says, it's thoughts of peace. It's not of evil to give you an expected end. Does the Bible not say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God? He has no bad thoughts towards his people. They're thoughts of good. And they're not of evil. And to give us an expected end. So never think God has bad thoughts against you. Don't be thinking that. That's a lie from the devil. Here's the comfort of his thoughts. They're good thoughts. They're comforting thoughts. They're thoughts of peace. And they're not of evil to give us an expected end. All things that I said to you work together for good. You may have something in your life today that's shattering you. But when you put the whole package together, we must put the whole package together. It's all things for good. Because the comfort of these thoughts, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So that's a comfort of hearts tonight. God thinketh upon me, and they're all good thoughts. They're all good thoughts. Oh, if we sin against them, repent and turn from them. Be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He loves us with great love. Oh, the comfort of the thoughts of God towards me. They're good thoughts. Could I say here lastly about the contrast of his thoughts? Isaiah 55, verse 8 says these words, and verse 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's the contrast to his thoughts. God says his thoughts are not your thoughts, or his ways, or your ways are not his ways. And he tells us why. Because my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. They're very wise thoughts towards us. His way is perfect. Sometimes, maybe in our life, we say it to ourselves, and we say it to God, why? Why has this happened to me? And we're broken, and we're confused, and we're shattered. And maybe sometimes we're foolish enough to blame God, and sometimes we're foolish enough to think, well, God has made a mistake. That's wrong. His thoughts are higher. His thoughts are greater. You know what we've got to do? Trust him at all times. Trust in the Lord in all times. He knows what is best for all of us. Oh, how precious are thy thoughts also unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How precious are the thoughts of God unto you and I, child of God. If we come to another year, we've always been on his mind, and we'll soon be going into a new year. He'll never stop thinking about us. Not one of us knows what's in front of us. But I know his loving thoughts will always be upon me. Let us then, as a people, think much of him. Do you? Let us not forget him. Let's not forget the wonderful love of Christ. Let our meditation of the Lord Jesus be sweet. Let us rejoice that the Lord thinketh upon me. Out of all this old sin-cursed world of humanity, he thinks upon me. Me? He has saved me by his grace, washed me in the blood of his Son. He's given me everlasting life. He has promised me a home in heaven. Oh, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. So let's rejoice in the Lord. And let's praise him for his great love and mercy to us, that he's thought upon us and saved us by his grace and brought us to Christ. I trust the Lord will bless those few thoughts to your heart tonight for his name's sake.